The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 8, Text Number 39. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on June 9th, 2014, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Na
iyam
shobishyate tatra yatha idanim gadadhar tvat fadai ankita bhati svalakshana vilakshitai neyang shobishyate tatra
Yate
danim gadadhara Tvat padar ankita bhutpati Svalakshana vilakshitai Nehang sobishyate tatra Yate danim gadadhara Tvat padairan kita bhati Svalakshana vilakshyatai Na
not
iyam
this land of our kingdom
Sobishyate
will appear beautiful
Tatra
then
Yata,
as it is now,
idanim,
how,
gadadhara,
O Krishna,
tvat,
your,
padai,
by the feet,
ankita,
marked,
bhati,
is dazzling,
svalakshana,
your own marks,
vilakshyatai,
by the impressions,
translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada.
O Gadadhara, Krishna,
our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet,
and therefore it appears beautiful.
But when you leave, it will no longer be so.
Purport.
There are certain particular marks on the feet of the Lord which distinguish the Lord from others. The marks of a flag, thunderbolt, and instrument to drive an elephant, umbrella, lotus, disc, etc., are on the bottoms of the Lord's feet. These marks are impressed upon the soft dust of the land where the Lord traverses. The land of Hastinapur was thus marked while Lord Krishna was there with the Pandavas. And the kingdom of the Pandavas thus flourished by such auspicious signs. Kunti Devi pointed out that these distinguished features and was afraid of ill luck in the absence of the Lord.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunitam Vitam Dam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Badijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Jivishakan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatnya Nishatarine.
So there is an anxiety when Krishna is not there, how things will go on. It's a fact, without Krishna, there's nothing. Without Krishna, life has no meaning, isn't it? Can life have meaning without Krishna? Can there be any happiness without Krishna? Can there be any joy, any peace, any sanity without Krishna? The world is full of pseudo-happiness, but note that it is pseudo, it's not real happiness. Without Krishna, you cannot have any happiness. That's a fact. The example of the fish out of the water, you cannot be happy. No matter what arrangements you may make for the fish on the land, because it is not his artificial atmosphere. It is not his natural atmosphere. It's an artificial atmosphere. Therefore, no matter what you do to satisfy that fish on the land, he will not be satisfied. So without Krishna, there is no arrangement you can make in this material world to be happy, to be satisfied, to be peaceful, to be content. There's no way you can do it. It just doesn't... It's a dream only. It's a false hope. Hope against hope. They think that by their science they will bring happiness. But actually they're simply bringing more and more chaos and misery by their so-called science. If you want actual happiness, you must come to Krishna consciousness. To succumb, Krishna said. This is real happiness. Susukam. It's everlastingly blissful. Abrahma bhuvana loka punarvartin arjuna mam upachita kaunteya punarjanman vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest planet, every place is miserable. Wherever you may go, it's miserable. Whether you go to America, Europe, Mauritius, India, Australia, South America, North, wherever you may go, to the higher planets, the lower planets, the middle planets, anywhere you go in this material world, you will find that it's simply miserable if there's no Krishna consciousness. And if you have Krishna consciousness, you can be anywhere. You can even be in a prison. You can be anywhere and be happy if you have Krishna consciousness. This secret is unknown to the human society because they're being totally misguided and cheated by these rascal leaders who are the category of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Shvavidrai ushtra karai. This is our modern civilization. So we should not be followers of this modern civilization. We should be followers of the Vedic civilization. You understand this point? We have our choice. What civilization do you want to be a part of? You want to be part of this modern civilization, or do you want to be part of Vedic civilization? You have your choice. Which way do you want to go? If you go with this material civilization, you're going to hell. I'll tell you straight away, you're going to hell. That's all you're going to get. You're just going to go to hell. That's all. They're going down to the animal kingdom in the next birth. That's where they're heading. If you follow Vedic civilization, your pathway is very clear back home, back to Godhead. Very, very clear pathway. So you have your choice, you see. Tamasima, Jyotirgama, the Vedas enjoin. Do not follow the pathway of the dark material civilization. You follow the pathway of the enlightened Vedic culture. This is the pathway of the great Mahajanas. Mahajano yena gatastapanta. It is stated in the Mahabharata. You should follow the pathway of these great Mahajanas. Not the pathway of these Rakshasas. Svayambhur nadadashambhu kumaro kapilo manu pralado janako bhishmo balir vayasakirviyam. These are the great Mahajanas. Brahmaji, Narad Muni, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapiladev, Svayambhuva Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, Bhishma Dev, Bali Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami, and Yamaraj. These are the great Mahajanas. You follow the path of these great personalities, and you'll get out of the darkness of ignorance of this material existence. But if you do not follow the great Mahajanas, you follow instead the dictates of the rascal mind, you remain caught up. You remain caught up in this material world. It's not just by getting initiated now you're saved. That's like Christianity, you know. Well, I was baptized, I accepted Jesus, so now I can do whatever I want. And you say, no, it's not like that. Initiation means the beginning. Now you're enrolled in the university. Is enrolling in the university mean that you're a graduate? No. It means you have the opportunity to become a graduate. So diksha means you have the opportunity to now to become a pure devotee. You've gotten all the facility to become a pure devotee of Krishna. Now you have to do your work. You have to chant your rounds every day. You have to follow the regulated principles. You have to read Prabhupada's books. You have to eat only prasadam. You have to associate with devotees. You have to serve your guru, serve the local temple, serve the Vaishnavas, you see. And this way, then you can become perfect in Krishna consciousness. That is the goal, to become perfect in Krishna consciousness, to develop love for Krishna. And that's what everything that we're doing is for that purpose. Whether we're studying the scripture, whether we're distributing books, Harinam Sankirtan, deity worship, prasadam distribution, cooking prasadam, distributing prasadam, raising a family in Krishna consciousness, whatever we're doing, it's only for one purpose. If you have a different purpose, then you're off the track. You are off the track. You're definitely off the track. There's only one purpose, and that is to develop love of Krishna. Everything should be for that purpose. Yat karoshi yadashnashi yajjahosi dadasi yat yat tapasya shikantaya tat kadushva madarpanam. See, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that as an offering unto me. So everything means you have to connect everything with Krishna as an offering to me. What kind of offering? Some just throwing in his face? No. A loving offering. Is it? Bhaktya, with love. So we have to learn to do everything with love for Krishna. That is our perfection. Actually, someone may say, this is artificial. But no, you are artificial. The natural tendency of the love, according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see, jivera svarupa hai krishnara nitya das. the constitutional position of a living being, and he's the eternal servant of Krishna. So loving Krishna, serving Krishna, that is the natural tendency of the living entity. It is his original natural energy. And if one does something else, that is artificial. To not serve Krishna, that is artificial. To not be Krishna conscious, that is artificial. To forget Krishna, that is artificial. It's a diseased state. It's not your healthy state. The natural condition of the body is healthy. The natural condition of the mind is psychologically sound. To be a crazy man or a diseased man, that is unnatural position. So Krishna consciousness means get back to your original natural position. It's not an artificial imposition on you. We want to make you into a devotee. No, you're already a devotee. By your very nature, you're a devotee of Krishna. But you've been twisted, you've been bent out of shape psychologically by a materialistic society to try to be something else that you're not. That's why nobody can be happy. That's why people go crazy and they do all kinds of weird things like shooting people. In the U.S., it's now becoming a national pastime to take a gun and start shooting people. The wealthiest, most powerful country in the world has the most miserable people in the world. You don't become happy by material advancement. You become happy by God consciousness. That's how you become happy. So don't think the material advancement is going to make you happy. Material advancement will never make you happy. You understand? It will never make you happy. You can only become happy by becoming Krishna conscious. It's the only way you can be happy. So take advantage of the association of Srila Prabhupada. Take advantage of the association of the spiritual masters of ISKCON. Take advantage of the association of the devotees of ISKCON. Take advantage of this wonderful temple here, Shri Shri Radha Golokananda temple. Take advantage of this temple. Cultivate your Krishna consciousness. Come back to your original condition of pure bhakti and you will be happy. So are there any questions? The Vedic civilization, despite being so advanced, has certain drawbacks. Really? With respect to modern day civilization, for example, polygamy was common. The king used to have slaves. The caste system was very much pronounced. Some group were considered untouchables. Your comments, please. Actually, polygamy is very practical. If there's a larger female population, as there was formerly, now, I don't know. Now they have a practice of killing the aborting girls and letting the boys be born. The demoniac thing going on in the world. I've heard they determine the gender of the baby, and if it's a girl, they kill it. But formerly they didn't do that, you see, and there was more females. And they required husbands. So polygamy was very practical. When the female population is more, that it wasn't a time of abusive husbands that exploited the women. It was a time of saintly men who protected women very nicely. Just like Nanda Maharaj, you see. Great saintly, or Vasudev. Great saintly personalities, especially the Kshatriyas. So polygamy was actually very practical. And even sometimes I've seen in our ISKCON, I have one godbrother, he has two wives, and he takes nice care of them very nicely. In this country, it's legal. Nothing wrong. Prabhupada even said it could be done, but he said it shouldn't be done, because it's... Prabhupada actually recommends polygamy in different places, but then he also said we shouldn't allow it because of practical reasons. One thing, it's illegal in mostly places, and most of our men aren't qualified. Our men can hardly keep one woman happy in our movement. Our husbands are not very qualified husbands to keep even one woman happy. When you speak of two or three or ten wives, you see. But in principle, it's a valid principle. The men have to be very qualified. If we don't have such qualified men, we're all too greedy and selfish. Even one woman, we have a hard time making her happy. Comment?
We are comparing with material world. Right now, advanced civilization and Vedic culture, where the polygamy, we are saying something about polygamy, but nowadays, women are corrupted like anything. So this is called advanced civilization.
Yeah, this is one of the ridiculous things. I mean, in the U.S., if you marry two women, you're a criminal. If you have sex with 10 different women outside of marriage, it's okay. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You can be a playboy, you can make 10 women pregnant outside of marriage, and you're, a cool dude. But if you marry them, you're a criminal. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's completely ridiculous. Completely, it's just totally demoniac civilization. Okay, and then the king would have slaves. Again, the slaves, the word slave sounds like a horrible thing, but actually to be a slave in those days was really a good position. If I could be a slave of the king, it wasn't like they were beating him and whipping him. They were treated like family members, you know. They dressed in beautiful silk clothes. They had wonderful silk clothing, nice living quarters, all nice facility. And they had to be a slave in the Vedic culture was a very nice position. Very nice position. We're very proud. We don't have slavery now, but actually, you were a slave of your company. Don't you see that? You're a corporate slave. Now everyone's a slave, corporate slaves. And we're not being treated as nicely as the slaves in the Vedic culture. We're very proud. I'm not a slave, but we are a slave. The caste system is very much pronounced. The caste system formerly was not based on birth. It was based on one's qualities and one's activities. There's two caste systems, the demoniac caste system and the divine caste system. Nowadays, they have the materialistic Brahmins who are not really Brahmins. They're called Dvija Bandhus. They're descendants of actual Brahmins. They're not real Brahmins. They made it by birth. That's why you have Muslims in India. Because the caste conscious Brahmins are at fault, you see. Because unless you were born, if you're born low class, you're low class and that's it. There's no question of being elevated. So because the Brahmins had this rigid system, then why be a low-class Hindu when I can be a Muslim and not be considered low-class among the Muslim community? So there was mass conversions to Islam because of these rascal Brahmanas. They're the fault. They're the actual fault.
Huh? Modern system, advanced civilization has a caste system. Even Muslims marry a devotee. They say, the person has to be the woman and the man has to be in the same caste.
Hmm. Yeah. A person's anger may be rightly justified, but how he can control it, and generally our anger is not justified. Our anger means I'm selfish, and because my greedy desires were not satisfied, therefore I get angry. Although anger can be used in Krishna's service against those who blaspheme the Lord and his devotees. But generally our anger is mundane. How to preach to an audience who find it difficult to understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness? Well, you have to explain it in very elementary terms, then. That's something that they can understand. Depends on the audience. There's different, as they say, different strokes for different folks. You have to come to their level, just like I was preaching to some Christians one time. A Christian study group invited me on a Wednesday night adult study group. They invited me to come, so what am I going to preach to them? I just started glorifying Jesus. They loved it. Jesus is our Savior. He's the Son of God. He's our Guru. They were in bliss and all smiling. They were in ecstasy. And then I said, but with you all, we have a beef. And they put them on. And I said, we have a beef, and that is the beef. You're eating beef. But the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Actually, they didn't get angry. They appreciated what I told them, because I'd said it in a poetic way, and I'd glorified Jesus like anything. So you have to preach according to the audience. If Krishna is the Supreme Person, what do you mean if? If Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so why Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya is not as powerful as the Maha Mantra? Because that's what the scripture says. You doubt the scriptures? You're doubting that, first of all, you're doubting that Krishna is the Supreme, if Krishna is the Supreme. You're doubting that Krishna is the Supreme. So it's no wonder you doubt the Hare Krishna Mantra. You're also doubting Krishna himself. You have to take the authority of scripture. Stop listening to your rascal mind and stop listening to the scripture. You see? And you can also study that the name of Ram is as powerful as 1,000 names of Vishnu, and the name of Krishna is as powerful as 3 Rams. So that means one Krishna is as good as 1,000 names of Vishnu. So just calculate how many names of Vishnu you get in one repetition of the Maha Mantra, without even considering the power of calling out to Radharani, just from the Rams and the Krishnas. How much power you get? Okay, so the Ram is what? Hare Ram, Hare Ram. There's 4 Rams. That's 4,000 names of Vishnu right there, okay? And then there's 4 Krishnas. And there are 3, each one of those is good as 3,000 Rams. So there's 4, that's 12,000 plus 4,000, 16,000 names of Vishnu. Potency, just by going Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You've just done the Vishnu Sahasranam 16 times. So consider the power of the Maha Mantra. How can we increase the quality of our chanting of the holy name? And it's very simple. You have to chant carefully. That's all. Pay attention to it. Chant carefully. Just like that shloka. Syat Krishna Nama Charitari Satapya Vidya Pato Patascha Rasha Nasha Naro Chikanu Kindvadanandidang Karishai Vajushna Svavikramad Babitad Ganamula Hantri. Mantra 7 from the Upadeshamrita. The holy name, character, pastimes, and activities of Lord Krishna are all transcendentally sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, It is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names, a natural relish awakens within one's tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. What is the specific point in this verse about chanting? Carefully chant these sweet names every day. You have to do it carefully. It's like when you drive a car, you do it carefully, don't you? You don't want to carelessly drive your car. If you do, you'll have a wreck. So you have to carefully drive the Maha Mantra. Not carelessly drive it. Back to home, back to Godhead. So you don't have a wreck. You have said that everywhere we go in this world, it is a place of misery. I didn't say that. Krishna says that. Why do you say that I said it? I didn't say that. Krishna, I'm just repeating what Krishna said. I don't say that. Krishna says that. Sometimes when we are down, even coming to the temple, we find the spiritual atmosphere. Sometimes when we are down, even coming to the temple, we find the spiritual atmosphere miserable. Now, wait a minute. That's you, Prabhu. That's not the atmosphere of the temple. Here's Prabhupada. Do you think there's a miserable... think that Prabhupada's in a miserable atmosphere? You think Radha Golokananda in a miserable atmosphere? That's you. It's not the temple. The atmosphere here is ever blissful. This is the Vaikuntha realm. Wherever Prabhupada is there, Radha Golokananda, that is a transcendental bliss. If you find the atmosphere to be miserable, that means you're not in the temple. You're physically here, but your mind is somewhere else. This place is oozing unlimited oceans of transcendental bliss at every minute. If you find the atmosphere miserable, you're not in the spiritual atmosphere of the temple. Your body is here, but your mind is a million miles away. The atmosphere in this temple is always unlimited spiritual bliss. If you're not tasting it, that's your problem. That means you're not carefully chanting Hare Krishna. Please give me some advice how to overcome this. Carefully chant Hare Krishna. Fix your mind on the name. Don't be pulled away by Durga Devi. Any more questions? So the questions, then we'll do a wrap up then on this class today. Again, the point is that without Krishna, things become inauspicious, they become unhappy, they become miserable wherever there is no Krishna consciousness. There cannot be any happiness where there is no Krishna consciousness. So, you have to be Krishna conscious, that's them. It's sink or swim. You have to make the endeavor to be Krishna conscious, otherwise you will drown in this material existence. It's like that Satyavatra Muni prays, I am drowning in an ocean of sorrow. And almost like a dead man. Without Krishna consciousness, you will be like a dead man, drowning in an ocean of sorrow. So you have to make the endeavor to be Krishna conscious. You have to rise early in the morning, don't sleep late. You have to rise early in the morning, take your bath, get up before the sunrise, take your bath, put on the tilak, you see, chant the holy names in the early morning before the sun comes up, and you'll feel great transcendental bliss. You have to make the endeavor, you see, the modes of nature want to keep you in their clutches. Why get up? Sleep. Sweet sleep. You see, so-called sweet sleep. It's bitter. It's bitter sleep. You discipline yourself. Disciple means, if you're a disciple and you don't discipline yourself, you're not a disciple. You're simply a rascal. Disciple means discipline. You discipline yourself. You have to rise early in the morning, take your bath, decorate your body with tila, chant the holy names. and you will taste the bliss. But if you don't make the endeavor to conquer the modes of nature every day, you're going to be in the modes, and even if you come to the temple, you'll be in the modes. You think there's something wrong with the temple, but it's simply with you. You understand? It's something wrong with you. You're not Krishna conscious. So in this way, we have to understand. Yato yato nishchalati manas chantala mastaram tatastatam nayam yaitad acharnivavashamniya. From wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So grab that rascal mind, bring that mind back to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and you will always taste the bliss 24 hours a day. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Krishna Krishna Dasa Dikari Prabhu ki jai.